come, bowing down before your throne. We know that we could never repay all we owe, but you said that we could come before you as we are, as we are.
In Matthew 24:15, Jesus said to his disciples, "The day is coming when you will see what Daniel the prophet spoke about. Whoever reads, let him understand." The following is a presentation of the Heart to Heart Bible study titled Daniel, A Man of Purpose, Prayer, and Prophecy, a teaching through the historical and prophetic book of Daniel. More information is available on our website at www.refugefamily.com/women's ministry.
Are we ready for our memory verse? But we all know that memory verse, right? Here we go. For you are the living God and steadfast forever. Your kingdom is the one that shall not be destroyed, and his dominion shall endure to the end. He delivers and rescues, and he works signs and wonders in heaven and on earth. Daniel 6:26b-27a. Ready? Here we're going to do it again. We're going to say it and declare this truth, right? For he is a living God and steadfast forever. His kingdom is the one that shall not be destroyed, and his dominion shall endure to the end. He delivers and rescues, and he works signs and wonders in heaven and on earth. Daniel 6:26b-27a. Have music in my head. Okay, here we go. We're gonna dare to be a Daniel, right? Dare to be a Daniel, dare to stand alone. Dare to be a Christian, dare to make it known. Let's do it. Dare to be a Daniel, dare to stand alone. Dare to be a Christian, dare to make it known. Good job.
I think this was written probably the time Bethany was a very little girl, and if I keep talking about that, I won't make it through the song. But
I have found him faithful, I have found him good. I've found he always does things he said he would. And I found that when I stumble, my God remains a rock. I found the shepherd is faithful to his flock. And I have found forgiveness when I deserved his wrath. And I have found his comfort when the scoffers start to laugh. But this is just a measure of a love that knows no end. The Son has found his Father's love too deep to understand. And I have found him near me when the storms begin to blow. And I have found a perfect peace I never thought I'd know. And though I still have questions, I have found that I can trust the kind of love that took my place on a cruel and rugged cross. I have found I will never find the boundaries of his grace. never thought I'd ever find the love that I've seen in his face. But I found he chastens me like a faithful father should. And I have found him faithful, oh, I have found him good. And I found that when I stumble, my God remains a rock. Well, I found the shepherd is faithful to his flock.
Sing that part with me. I found that when I stumble, my God remains a rock. And I found the shepherd is faithful to his flock.
And I found that when I stumble, my God remains a rock. Oh, I found the shepherd is faithful to his flock.
That was almost loud enough. How many of you have ever stumbled? Can I see the hands of the stumblers here? Let's sing that one more time. I found that when I stumble.
And I found that when I stumble, my God remains a rock. And I found my shepherd is faithful to his flock. And you will find your shepherd so faithful to his flock.
Turn to somebody, look them in the eyes and say, God is so faithful, so faithful.
And I agree, that should have been on the album. It should have been on the album. What's the deal? We request things and we get promised things and we don't get things. So, no, I'm so thankful. I am so thankful for Bill coming to share that with us, because in this chapter of Daniel, we have found God. He found God faithful. And we will find God faithful. And I can't start crying now, because if I start crying now, then we go through that whole thing. I forget what I'm talking about. And then we go through that whole ordeal again. I can't do this. This is too much. So, but God is faithful. And we've not seen more of that than we have in Daniel, his faithfulness. Lord Jesus, as we just come before you, Father, we are thankful for your grace. We are thankful for your goodness. We are thankful, Lord, that you have gone before us. You have prepared the way, Lord God, that you have spoken to our hearts already. You have shown us what you want from us, Lord. You are giving us direction. And Lord God, I pray in the name of Jesus that you would just do a mighty work this morning in our hearts and keep us centered on you, Lord, in the name of Jesus. Amen. You know, this story in Daniel is probably the most known story in the Bible, really. And no greater time than today that we sang the song, Dare to be a Daniel, Dare to stand alone, Dare to be a Christian, Dare to make it known. I really want to encourage you to look at the things that are going on in the world today, and to pray and ask the Lord for wisdom. That's all I'm kind of getting from the Lord right now. Just ask him for wisdom. So what you're supposed to do, where you're supposed to be, what you're supposed to say, what you're not supposed to say, how much involved do you get, how much do you not get, and so to do that. But we're going to... The thing that stood out, and you know, I've got all these notes, and as I was praying this morning, I felt like, yeah, you'll use them a little bit, but you won't use them very much, so just bear with me if it looks a little like I'm listening for the next word. So, Daniel had purposed in his heart a long time ago so that he could be in this place right now that we're talking about. He had purposed in his heart that he would not do anything to defile the name of God. He purposed in his heart back there so that when he came here and the challenges came, he was prepared for it. God always prepares you for whatever you're going through. And he is always with you, whatever you're going through. He was with Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego in the fiery furnace. He was with Daniel in the lion's den. So that trial that you're going through, that challenge that you're going through, those things that you're trying to work out, God is in the midst of you. And we shall not be moved. So God has got this. So at this point, we're finishing up with the stories of Daniel. So we're finishing up with the history. We're moving into that area, which we did last week, of the silver area of the statue that was in the dream. And so moving from that statue, that part, we're moving into that part and moving into the next section that's going to be going on. That's all we will cover as far as the different parts of the of that dream. But Darius's government was very well put together. It was a very organized. We can see that in the first three verses. He had this person over this, this person over this, this one was over them, they were over them, they were over them. And right away, we see that there's trouble. But you know what? The one thing that I wanted to say, first of all, is Daniel was able to go through all of this because he purposed in his heart back here, and also because he established a habit. He established a rich, not really a ritual, but he prayed three times a day. That was something that he established. In our text, they're going to ask you to stop doing that for 30 days. It takes you 21 days to develop a habit. It takes you, I have heard, 21 days to let go of a habit. So they're being asked to do it for 30 days, but Daniel has already established that habit, and so it was a natural thing for what he did. So this portion has been the history, and it has had some prophecy in it. From 7 to 12, it's going to have much more prophecy and a little bit of history. So it's all tied together in that way, but we're done with the stories that of Daniel in this particular portion. He's about 80 or 90 years old, and we'll tie them together with what's going on in the world today. So if we tie these together with what's going on in the world today, I say to you, fear not. Fear not. But be informed and pray without ceasing. Memorize the word of God. Fight the good fight. Keep your eyes on Jesus and never give up. Purpose in your heart today that this is the direction that you will go, so that when those hard times come, that you are not taken by them. We know that he was a man of prayer, and we already talked about that. So his kingdom was very well organized with all of the princes. You did a lot in your Bible study. You have a lot of information in there. So I'll try not to go over the same things again. The problem starts when it says in verse 3 that this Daniel distinguished himself above the governors and satraps because an excellent spirit was in him, and the king gave thought to setting him over the whole realm. That's the problem. Here is someone who came in. He's a Hebrew. He's not one of the regular guys. He's a Hebrew. He's been moved up to this place. Why? Because it says he had an excellent spirit. An excellent spirit was in him. And I would suggest to you that that was the Holy Spirit that was in him, that moved him to the places that he should go and what he should do. He was that excellent spirit that was in him created a thoughtfulness in the king to set him over all of the areas. So Daniel was not dishonest or inefficient or disloyal or inadequate. He was like Paul in Acts 24:16. I myself always strive to have a conscience without offense toward God and men. And thank God for men who, 1 Timothy 3:7, have a good report of them which are without. Those people that are outside of the church, outside of the believers, outside of the family, and who are blameless and harmless, the sons of God, without rebuke, in the midst of a crooked and perverse nations. Philippians 2:15. Thank God for people that are like that, that stand for what is true, that stand for what is real, that stand for the Lord in the midst of all of these things that are going on. And how do we do that? We are the children of the living God, and we should conduct ourselves so that any charges brought against us by the wicked will be a lie. Live our lives in such a way that any charge that's brought against us has to be a lie. And so we do that by purposing in our hearts that that's what we're going to do, that we're going to walk with him. And so because he was moved into this number one place, or being considered for this number one place, all the other guys get together and they say, we've got to get this guy. We've got to stop him. We've got to do something against him. But they knew that there was nothing that they couldn't find any fault in him at all. You know the story. You're already know all of the story. But these men were not dealing with an ordinary man when they were dealing with Daniel. First of all, they said there's nothing that we can get against him unless we go against his God, concerning the law of his God in verse 5. So unless we go against his Christianity, unless we go, and I call it Christianity because that's what we speak of today. So let's put it in today's terms. They had to go against his Christianity, his commitment to God, those things that he stood for. And they were pretty confident that they could get the king to put him to death because of it. And so that's what they were going for, but they were not dealing with any ordinary man. He was a chosen and anointed servant of the Most High God who said, touch not mine anointed and do my prophets no harm. 1 Chronicles 16:22. Don't you do it. Don't you do it, guys. But they did it anyway. And so So the governors went to the king, you know it all, and he says, all the governors have gotten together, there's the first lie. All of the people have gotten together. Did Daniel know that they got together for this? Daniel was one of those guys that should have been there, first lie. So here they are, and they want him to do it, to pray to no one except for Darius for 30 days. And otherwise they go into the lion's den. And the now, O king, in verse 8, establish the decree and sign the writing so that it cannot be changed according to the laws of the Medes and Persians. We want to make sure that there are no hiccups here. We want to make sure that Daniel is thrown into the lion's den. We want to make sure that this happens. And so the king, I like King Darius. As I've read through this thing, I like this guy. And I think he got caught in the middle of a weak moment, but also a time when he was thinking about this while they were talking this. Do you ever find yourself doing that? And then you say yes to something, and later on somebody comes to you and you say, well, you said that yes. Oh, no, I didn't mean yes to that. We do things without thinking. We do things without stopping to pray. We say yes to things without finding out what God wants us to do. We go in a direction without finding out what that direction should be. And we just get on autopilot, and that will be dangerous for us. We need to do what Daniel did. As soon as Daniel heard, that it was written and was signed, he went home and in his upper room with his windows open toward Jerusalem, he knelt down on his knees 3 times that day and prayed and, notice, gave thanks before his God as was his custom since early days. He knew God. Notice the first thing that he did was thanksgiving. He went before his God with thanksgiving. Daniel had to make a decision, but the decision had already been settled long ago when he purposed in his heart not to defile the name of the Lord. There really was no decision to be made. He just continued with what he knew to be true and what he knew to be important. There's something to be said about kneeling in prayer. Now, we all know that we can pray. We can pray standing up. We can pray walking. We can pray laying down. We can pray on our side. We can pray if we're hanging from something. We can pray at any time. But there's something about in our private prayer when we are on our knees, that submission, how your body is, not prostrate before the Lord, but whatever direction your body's in, you know, however you're doing it. I lost my total thought. Anyway, but in private prayer, there's just something about submission when we're on our knees. And it is a point of submission. So in Luke 22:41, it says, in the garden, the Lord kneeled down and prayed. In Acts 7:60, Stephen, the first recorded martyr, when in his dying moments, fell to his knees and prayed, forgive them. They don't know what they're doing. And Acts 9:40, Peter kneeled down and prayed over Dorcas's dead body, and Dorcas was risen from the dead. Acts 20:36, Paul knelt down and prayed with them all in Miletus. And in Acts 21:5, Luke says, we knelt down on the shore and prayed. Submission. It is a position of submission. It's a position of submission. And so that Shadrach and Meshach and Abednego were standing when everyone else in the empire were kneeling before the image, and God honored them because they did not kneel. Now the people in Darius's empire were standing before a man, but God was about to honor one saint who was kneeling before him. And don't dismiss this little statement. He gave thanks before his God, as was his custom since early days. Daniel had been doing it on a regular basis. 1 Thessalonians 5:18, in everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. You mean the situation that I'm in right now, this stinky situation that I'm in right now, this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning me? Well, yeah. God's got you in the middle of it. And he's with you, and he will not leave you there. He will carry you through. You will grow from it. You will mature from it. You will continue to grow from it and continue to be more than you could be. Be more than you can be. You know, I can't help but think of, he raised me up so I could stand on mountains. He raised me up to walk on stormy seas. I am strong when I am on your shoulders. He raised me up to be more than I could be. That song just touches my heart so much because God, it is God who raises us up. When we are in prayer, when we are seeking his face, he raises us up. Our countenance changes after we pray. We should look different after we've talked with the Lord. Daniel was able to go through what Daniel went through because he was a man of prayer, because he knew the voice of the Lord, and he knew how to listen to the Lord. Those are the main things that we need to keep in mind. And so because of that, the setup has already begun, and so assembled outside of his house are people who want to bring him down. Isn't that just like the enemy? Just sneaking around. I'm going to give you the secret here. Doesn't that speak evil to you? That little, you got to do this thing with the hands too. But they're sneaking down, and there's no video. There's no pictures. They all have to hear him praying. Now, could he have prayed silently? Yeah. But he was following through on a scripture that was from long ago in someplace else. So, I'm probably going to get to it. So, anyway, that's why I'm not supposed to use my notes, apparently. Okay, so they're all there, and the enemy has to have witnesses. The enemy gathers witnesses, and they're all underneath his window. Now, it's back in Chronicles that it speaks about the reason why. Am I correct in that? In First Chronicles, it speaks of why he had to be faced toward Jerusalem with the window open on his knees, because it was all established that when God wanted to do a work in his people, he would, and they had to be taken away from the area for their learning experiences, that they would always pray kneeling with their faces turned toward Jerusalem. That's why he was doing it that way. Can we pray silently? Absolutely, we can pray silently. But it was his custom. It's what he had learned to do, and he was not going to be swayed by it for any other reason than for what was before him there. And so they run to the king. As you know, they run to the king. And I love in verse 13, so they're running to the king, and they go, oh, okay, so that thing is true according to the law of the Medes and Persians, which does not alter. Okay, we want you to know about that. So they answered and said before the king. So they've gone to the king, and they reiterate what has been charged, right? So they reiterate, they say, didn't you say for 30 days, and you said that there was no way to change it, right? Okay, got that down. Live forever, O king, got that all down. Okay, so he answered and said before the king, that Daniel, who is one of the captives from Judah, he is going to be the number one person in the country. And they refer to him as that Daniel, who is one of the captives from Judah. He's been working with them for well over 60 years. And they cannot put the name of his office with him, because that would let him know what the king know right away too. He doesn't show regard for you, O king, or for the decree that you have signed, but makes his petition three times a day. And the king, when he heard these words, was greatly displeased with everybody around him and blamed all of them for being so stupid. He was displeased with himself. He took on the attitude of, it's my sin. It's not somebody else's fault that I sinned. And I'll tell it to all of us. It's not somebody else's fault that I sin. It's my fault that I sin. And the only way that I can be forgiven for that sin is to confess my sin. And God is faithful and just to forgive me of my sin, cleanse me from all unrighteousness. God will never forgive excuses. He never forgives excuses. Darius takes it on. He realizes, I have been duped. I was doing something else when they came to me. I didn't pay attention. And now I believe that Darius and Daniel could possibly be best friends. I think he had won the heart of Darius in his witness. And we're going to see how much Daniel's witness made a difference in this king's heart. And he set his heart on Daniel to deliver him. I have sinned. What can I do to change it? And so he worked. He went to his men and he said, is there a loophole? Is there something that we can do? Is there anything that we can do that will get him out of here? It has to be done before sunset, because before sunset is when the decree had to be carried out. The sentencing had to be carried out. He labored till the going down of the sun, it says, to deliver him. I believe that he loved him. And then the men come, approach him right away. It's almost sunset. Okay. King, hi. Did you need help walking him there? Because we would love to help you get him to the lion's den there. We've got it all prepared. We went ahead of you, made a way, cleared all off everything so we can just get him right in there, get this over with, because you said that you would do this, and now you have to do it. So let us help you. Let us help you get him in there. And so it couldn't be changed. So the king gave the command, and they brought Daniel. But before they cast him into the den of lions, what happened? Darius says, your God, verse 16, your God, still not calling him my God, your God, whom you serve continually. There's not a break in your service. I can see that. Your witness shows me that there's not been a break in your service to him. He will deliver you. Look at that faith. He will deliver you. Your God will deliver you. I would say that Daniel had lived such a life of witness before the king, before the people, that they had established that his God will deliver him. There is no question in the king's mind, but, you know, Daniel, maybe there was a question in his mind, I don't know. And then they sealed it all up, and notice that they said, they sealed it all up, so he, with the signets of his Lord, that the purpose concerning Daniel might not be changed. What was Daniel's purpose? We know that now. What was his purpose? To continue on the remnant of the children of God, the family of God, to continue on the Hebrews nation. We know his purpose now. But it says here that that was sealed up, so the purpose concerning Daniel is that God would be glorified. The purpose concerning Daniel is that God is going to be glorified. It's going to be God that gets the glory for what's happening in all of this. And so it says that in verse 18, what happened in verse 18? I believe that Darius was praying to the God of Daniel. I believe that he was praying to the God of Daniel. It says that he was fasting, he had no musicians, and he didn't sleep all night. Those were all choices. It's not that he couldn't eat. It's not that he couldn't listen to the music. It's not that he couldn't sleep, but that he chose not to, and he spent the night, invested the night in prayer. God of Daniel, can you hear him praying? God of Daniel. God of Daniel, can you deliver him? Can you save him in there? Then the king rose very early in the morning. He got up so early in the morning at the very break of dawn, and he ran to the den of lions. He ran to the den of lions, hope against hope, as he ran there. He goes straight in the morning, no commentary on what happened out throughout the night. I want to know, what was that prayer like? I want to know what went on during the night. But even when we get to Daniel, we won't know what went on inside that lion's den. It says that he came and he cried out with a lamenting voice to Daniel. Daniel, Daniel, servant of the living God, has your God, whom you serve continually, been able to deliver you from the lions? Oh, my God. Oh, King, live forever. Can you? He's crying. He's lamenting. And he hears, oh, King, live forever. What? My God sent his angel and shut the lion's mouth so that they had no hurt for me, because I was found innocent before him, and also, O King, I have done no wrong before you. God saved me. And when we go before the Father, he will have one question for us at the judgment time. What did you do with Jesus? He won't see our sin if we've given our life to Christ. If Jesus Christ died for my sins, to forgive my sins and to forgive your sins, that's why he did it. He was innocent. We will be found innocent at that day of judgment because of Jesus. So, and then he goes on, and that's all he says. I've done no wrong before you. I was found innocent before you. An angel came and shut the lion's mouth. In this day, don't you want a commentary on it? Don't you want to know? Don't you want a whole documentary written or given on it? Well, when they put me down into the lion's den, I felt along the walls. It was pretty dark because they had all of this in there. But so I felt along the walls. And and then this kind of light started coming up. And then there I saw this lion and that lion. And they were doing this. And some of them were showing their teeth, but not all of them were showing. And you... Don't you want to know? Don't you want to know what went on in there? We all want to know what went on in there. I would say to you that what went on in there was an angel of the Lord came in and lit the place so light that the lions were blinded. I've been told that that lions are afraid of fire. Where were they directed when they were out in the wilderness? By a pillar of fire, the glory of God leading them through the wilderness. This is my personal belief. I think that that's what happened in there. And so God sent that angel and turned on the light. The brightness of the light. Daniel got to spend the night with the Lord. I believe there's a possibility that this was another Christophany, that this was a time of the pre-incarnate Christ showing himself and to comforting him in there. What did they talk about? I want to know what they talked about. Did they talk about why? I don't know why they threw me in here. I didn't do anything. Why am I want to know, God, why am I here? Because you're obviously here with me. You know, that proof that you're here with me because the light's shining in this darkness and you're all the lions are being all calm and everything. And so, that bright light that was in there. Amy Carmichael was a missionary in India who found young girls were being, sold for prostitution, forced into prostitution. She took care of as many as she could. And if you ever get a chance to read her story, Amy Carmichael, you should. But there was one family on the compound, and that meant there was only one man on the whole compound, and he would take care of them at night. And so they felt safe because he was there protecting them. But he got sick, and he had to return to England. And they were a little bit fearful at night because they didn't have his protection. But Amy wrote how at nighttime the angels came and lit up the camp and protected them. So it's the ministry of angels that happened inside that tomb, inside that den of lions. And Psalm 91:11, for he shall give his angels charge over you to keep you in all your ways. In Hebrews 1, I said Psalm 91, right? Yes. Psalm 91:11. And Hebrews 1:14, are they not all ministering spirits sent forth to minister for them who shall be heirs of salvation? Psalm 34:7, the angel of the Lord encamps round about them that fear him and delivers them. Psalm 103:20, bless the Lord, you his angels that excel in strength, that do his commandments, hearkening unto the voice of his word. Ministering angels. I have seen an angel. We were coming down the mountain, some ladies. My friend was driving, and her driving was very scary. And we were coming down the mountain, and I was fearful in my heart. I closed my eyes and I saw an angel on top of the van like this. Hair blowing and everything like this. Just knowing that there was an angel on top of there that was taking care of us, I was comforted. I knew that we were okay. There are ministering angels. There are angels that we have entertained unawares. And sometimes that angel was that one person that just annoyed you so much, you just couldn't stand being around them. You were like, okay, I can do this. I can, okay, it won't fold my hand because that means I don't want to listen to you. Okay. And then we find out later, that was an angel unawares. I'd been entertaining an angel unaware. So let's be careful about our hospitality, because we can be entertaining angels unaware. So Daniel explains why the angel came, that there was, because he was innocent and all of that. But Daniel didn't really know if God would deliver him or not. When he went into the lion's den, he had, just like Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, he didn't know. There was a strong possibility that these were his last moments. But God came through. Like his friends, he trusted and believed in God. It's not trusting in what God would do, but trusting in who God is. It's not trusting in what God would do, but trusting in who God is. Daniel trusted God like Job, though he slay me, yet will I praise him. Like Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, even if our God does not preserve us, we will not bow down. In Hebrews 11:33, it says, by faith they stopped the mouths of lions. Faith is the substance of things hoped for. It is the evidence of things not seen. Daniel met with God in the lion's den. I know I've already said that, but just think of that. All night, maybe 10 hours, just there with God, face to face, seeing him, being there, being basking in the Shekinah glory. It says in verse 23 that no injury came to me because now the king was exceedingly glad for him and commanded that they should take Daniel up out of the den. So Daniel was taken up out of the den, and no injury was found on him, not a scratch, not even a scratch from being dumped down in there, not even a scratch on him, because he believed in his God, because he believed in his God, and God had a purpose for Daniel to continue. And so I read that the person of God in the will of God is immortal until his work on earth is finished. Daniel was such a man, and God preserved him to finish some more work in the divine plan. Not one of us goes 1 second before our time. Not any of us do. So we don't even need to worry about that. And it just is so interesting. We go from the joy of deliverance to the terror of judgment in a brief moment. What happens? They get thrown into the lion's den. It's their family, their children, it's their wives, it's every part of their family was thrown in. This must have been a huge lion's den, because we're talking about, it says, all of them. So very interesting about all of that. And they were obviously very hungry, because they'd been without food all night. But so what they had planned had come upon them. And that's what the Bible tells us about the devices of the evil one, of the enemy. Psalm 7:15 says that he made a pit and dug it out and has fallen into the ditch which he made. The trouble shall return upon his own head, and his violent dealing shall come down on his own crown. In Esther chapter 8, Haman is hung on the very gallows that he had built for Mordecai. See, God has a way of taking care of things. God has his way of taking care taking care of things. And so Daniel, or Darius, writes to all peoples, nations, and languages that dwell in all of the earth, peace be multiplied to you. I make a decree that in every dominion of my kingdom, men must tremble and fear before the God of Daniel. You cannot make a decree of that, and you cannot make people tremble before a God. You can say it, but you can't make them do it. For he is the living God and steadfast forever. His kingdom is the one which shall not be destroyed, and his dominion shall endure to the end. He delivers and he rescues, which he's just seen, and he works signs and wonders in heaven and on earth, who has delivered Daniel from the power of the lions. And so he wanted to put it all together to let them know, did he give his life to God? Only God knows that. It sounds like it, but only God knows that for sure. Now, there is prophecy that's a part of this, in that they were commanded to worship a man. And would we stand against worshiping a man? It's the prophecy of the Antichrist being forced to worship before a man. The plots of their enemies will be cast, as it were, into the lion's den. And so let me just read what this is. Edward Dennett. The deliverance of Daniel is also typical. He plans beforehand the remnant, God's faithful remnant, who will be found in Jerusalem and in the land during the days of Antichrist's fearful sway. Through the plots of their enemies, they will be cast, as it were, into the lion's den, surrounded on all sides by the various displays of Satan's power, and their destruction will appear to human eyes to be imminent and certain. But God will himself protect them, interposing for their release by the appearing of Christ, will bring upon their enemies the very judgment which they had designed for his people. So today is the day of salvation. Don't put it off. Today is the day to commit to being totally sold out to the Lord. Jesus Christ is coming back. It is going to be really soon, a lot sooner than we thought. Just check your local news, your world news, your whatever kind of news that you get. Check it and read it and hear it and study the Word of God and see how things are lining up. But I say to you, fear not, little flock, for it is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Father, for your grace. Thank you, Lord, for your goodness. Thank you, Lord, that you have told us these things beforehand so that when they come upon us, we're not taken by them. And Lord God, I just thank you. I just thank you, Father, for being with us. And as the ladies get into their small groups, Lord, that you would be glorified in their time together, that you would be blessed, Lord, that they would be blessed with one another. And we just thank you so much, Lord. We pray for all the things that are going on, that you would keep our eyes open, that you would keep us faithful, Lord, that you would strengthen our hearts, that you would cause us, Lord, to be Daniels and stand alone if we have to. And we thank you, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. Jesus, we worship you for all you are. Father, we want to bow our whole life down. Spirit, invade the broken places in our hearts. The places in our hearts.
Thank you for listening to this Heart to Heart Women's Bible Study, recorded at Refuge Calvary Chapel in Huntington Beach. We hope you've been encouraged by today's lesson and will join us again as we continue to study through the Word of God. For more information about the Heart to Heart Women's Ministry, please visit our website at www.refugefamily.com or call our office at 714-891-9495. Letting go, standing up, stepping out, walking on.